Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to the show, my husband, JC Hall.
Howdy.
You still need that soundboard, dude, where you get like, yeah, clapping
need
and all that
applause.
Stuff. So because of the holidays, JC and Chris Ann have a number of outside obligations that keep us busy in the evening. So we're just doing what do they call that? A rush
show.
Early show, short show tonight. So I have a couple things.
But we didn't want to leave you lonely.
Oh, yeah. And I have some things that are just burning. And I've just been, you know, this may not be a good day for me to have.
Sure it is.
A show. I have walked through my day with this irritated spirit ever since I saw this stupid report on the New York Times about the impeachment hearings today. And I'm just, well, it actually, if I can.
Was it a stupid report or a good report on stupid people?
What? What? No. It's the New York Times. They're stupid. And it was a report on stupid people. Okay? But it actually started yesterday, JC. Are you familiar with a hack on Twitter by the name of Tribe Law?
I am not. I think maybe I've come across that, but I can't say too familiar.
So Tribe Law is actually a guy named Lawrence Tribe, who's a Harvard law professor. And he gets up on Twitter and just spews his... How can you have a brain that costs that much money and be that freaking stupid?
Because you spent that money at Harvard.
I know, right? Seriously. So yesterday, okay, so if you're following me on Twitter, you already know this. Yesterday, Lawrence Tribe tweets out this. Are you ready? I don't know. Maybe I just have a short fuse over this whole thing. You know why I have a short fuse over this whole thing?
Because they're lawyers.
No, I have a short fuse over this whole thing because I am being bombarded constantly with this impeachment thing. And it, to be frank with you, it's not the impeachment that really irritates me. It's the fact that you have all these constitutional political prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly, I'm talking about representatives, I'm talking about legal hacks, I'm talking about these people in the mainstream media constantly battering my brain and my conscience with the word constitution and constitutional, and they couldn't find the constitution with a map. If they had a stinking guide, they wouldn't be able to find their way to the impeachment clause, and with a dictionary, couldn't understand the words in it. And so I'm constantly being beat in the head with these words. Oh, what? Ah, Nancy Pelosi, we have a duty to uphold the Constitution. And I'm like, when in the last 40 years of your life, Nancy Pelosi, have you ever done anything that was constitutional? It's just, I simply don't have the words to describe the angst in my heart. And I think it's probably very good that I'm not in D.C. anymore. Hey, listen up, Secret Service. Because if I was in D.C. right now and Nancy Pelosi walked in front of me, I might want to kick her
easy.
In the...
Easy, terms of service.
Terms of service, whatever. I just, boy, this stuff makes me so mad. So anyway, I'm all ready here, right? And then Lawrence Tribe comes on Twitter and he says, are you ready for this? I'm sure you know what's wrong with this. And maybe it has to be because I'm up here, because Tribe puts out stupid stuff all the time and it doesn't trigger me. I'm being triggered, JC.
Whoa.
I'm being triggered. I just realized I'm being triggered.
Right.
I'm triggered. Okay, anyway, what happens? This is what Tribe Law says. What happens if McConnell never agrees to a real trial with witnesses and documents and Schumer doesn't cave? Then Trump will have been found guilty by the House of conduct grossly incompatible with self-governance and the rule of law, with no exoneration. He won't love that. Okay, here's my tweet. I'll give you a little clue. Here's my tweet. And this is what happens when people spend too much money on education. The House doesn't find guilt or innocence, and a real scholar would know that, unless the goal is to deceive those who don't know any better. right?
Amen.
The house does not find guilt or innocence. And then when you read what he says,
in the sense of making an adjudication.
Making an adjudication. Right. No, the purpose of, look, we've talked about this. The purpose of the house is to be the prosecutor that draws up the indictment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The indictment does not find guilt or innocence. The indictment sends forward a premise of violation of the law, which, by the way, old tribe law here shows his hand, right? Because he would be found guilty of the conduct of grossly incompatible with self-governance and the rule of law. Can somebody point me to a stinking statute?
What is that crime exactly?
What is that crime exactly? Grossly incompatible with self-governance and the rule of law. Because, you know, I went to law school, crazy me. I was a prosecutor for a decade, never ran across that portion of the law. And by the way, JC, not to continue this rant and like run over you today, but let me just tell you
Let me just tell you what.
If grossly incompatible with self-governance and the rule of law is the standard for impeachment, there is no one left in Washington, D.C. to govern, at which point we should all shout a huge huzzah.
Yeah. Build bigger jails.
As we build bigger jails and put people in jail for being grossly incompatible with self-governance.
Amen.
What's grossly incompatible with self-governance? The EPA, the FDA, the USDA, the ATF, the FBI, the Department of Education, Health and Human Services. You can go on a list of 125 executive agencies, their agents, and the congressmen that created their acts, and they're grossly incompatible with self-governance.
Yeah, I can picture it. Hey, man, what you in for? I was found grossly incompatible with self-governance. Oh man, I just robbed a liquor store. That's crazy.
But let me read something to you. This is another tribe law post. Okay, so apparently he's really, really, his leg is tingling over a New York Times op-ed about some Republicans who hate Trump.
Oh, the Lincoln Pack.
The Lincoln Pack, right. So we are Republicans and we want Trump defeated. And so Tribe Law, the hack that he is, gets his tingling down his leg because, you know, he's a liberal socialist.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean that. He's a liberal socialist, which is a socialist of the socialist order, right? And so he says this. Tell me Tribe Law doesn't listen. Here's what he says. An important effort putting principle above party and personal and above personal loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so am I arrogant to think that maybe this dude is getting some of our feed here?
I don't know.
How many other people have you heard use those terms, principle over party?
The motto of your show?
The motto of the show, liberty over security, principle over party, truth over personality. He named two of them. Of course, he's not going to do liberty over security because that's way too fringe for him.
So this is the group,
the Lincoln Pack.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Lincoln Pack of saying about opposing tyranny, what did they say?
I have no idea.
I forget their wording.
But man, I mean, I'm
but
just
like they could have been describing Lincoln's tenure, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
that's
the irony of it, you know.
So you call him the Lincoln
following the rule of law. I forget what they're called, but they called it some Lincoln something. It was like Lincoln was part of the name. So you got Lincoln who, I mean, shut down newspapers, arrested newspaper publishers. I mean, we'd go on and on. And you can't hardly tell the truth about Lincoln without being attacked as a racist,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
Which by the way, Lincoln himself saying the black race is inferior to the white race in his first inaugural address.
Oh my goodness, his debates with Douglas.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all out white supremacist.
Even after the slaves were declared free, he's trying to ship them, right, essentially a ethnic cleansing of the United States, shipping them to Central America, Latin America, Haiti.
Lincoln had an all-out plan to ethnically cleanse America from all the slaves.
Right.
You know, he tried, we've told
not
this,
saying murdering them all,
shipping them all out.
Shipping them away.
So we've told this story before because we served in Haiti as missionaries mm-hmm. on the island of Isle of Vache. And the island of Isle of Vache has population of former American slaves because Lincoln promised to send, to pay Bernard Cook mm-hmm. money, $50 a head. So Lincoln promises Bernard Cook, who is a shipman, he owns a shipping industry, mm-hmm. and offers to pay Bernard Cook $50 a head for every slave, former slave, that he takes from America to Haiti.
To his sugar plantation.
To his sugar plantation on Isle of Vache. This is Lincoln's plan. He's published this. He's made this promise. So Bernard Cook loads up his ship with freed slaves, because remember the whole Emancipation Proclamation thing, puts them on the ship. Well, here's the thing. Lincoln did not have the authority to make this kind of deal.
To sell people
and to promise to pay shipmen to get rid of people, by the way, who were citizens now that they're free, yep. Right? Citizens now that they're free. They're being shipped out. And don't tell me the 14th Amendment wasn't ratified yet. That's irrelevant. When slaves, prior to the 14th Amendment, when slaves were freed, they automatically became citizens. Do your history. You should know better. And so anyway, the Secretary of War sends Bernard Cook information. I'm sorry, Lincoln didn't have the authority to promise you this money, so we're not paying you. So the U.S. reneges on Lincoln's deal, mm-hmm. and virtually starves people to death
yeah.
because Cook was relying on this money to colonize with these people.
Yeah, colonize Haiti.
And then,
or at least Isle of Vache,
the southern portion.
The island is Isle of Vache, yes. where they. Yes. Took me down. So,
and so when Lincoln gets wind,
those are the Lincoln stories you
yeah,
don't learn.
You don't learn in school.
Elementary
so
school.
So Lincoln gets wind that the Secretary of War has poo-pooed his whole idea, and that doesn't faze Lincoln. He says, "Oh, okay. Well, we'll just ship them all to Texas."
Yeah.
I mean, that's seriously. Go do your history. That's the mildest part about Lincoln.
Yeah. But
if you want to know the real Lincoln, you got to read the Lincoln-Douglas debates when Lincoln was running for Senate.
And that's the funny part about it. You know, these Republicans. I think it's the Heritage Foundation that was behind it. Which, you know, come on. So
don't talk to me about the Heritage Foundation.
We're against tyranny, and so we're going to start this group against Trump and name it after a tyrannical president,
mm-hmm. yeah,
President
yeah.
Lincoln. But
and then try to talk about liberty.
But come on,
and limited presidency.
Not you know, 90% of Americans know nothing about Lincoln. All they know is the propaganda.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
You know, and you say, and they've been totally programmed. So you say one single thing anti-Lincoln, which is to say, tell the truth about Lincoln's real history. You are immediately racist, pro-slavery.
You know what I've done, JC? I've just simply put a quote from Lincoln's debate with Douglas up there and said, do you know who makes this racist statement? Would you classify this person as racist? And do you know which famous person made this statement?
Is this a racist comment? Right?
Yeah. And do you know who it is? So what people do then is they Google it.
Yeah.
Right?
And
because
they want to
be like, I'm the one that knows the answer. And you know they Google it, right? They Google it. And then they Google it, and they're like, oh, and then you get silence. Because any other time, you're like, who said this? And people are like, oh, this James Madison, is George Washington, is Thomas Jefferson. You put that up there, crickets. Because nobody wants to... you know what it is? I think that it's cognitive dissonance. It's like the computer does not compute. They can't process that information.
Move along, nothing to see here.
Right. My brain can't handle that. So, what sets after tribe law yesterday and being bombarded by all of this?
Never Trump hysteria.
No. The adulteration of the use by the prostitutes of the use of the word constitution and constitutional, right? I get smacked in the face this morning by this New York Times trash, which I'm curious about the vote, right? Which 6 hours of debate. Come on now, people. Really? Really? Okay. You got a debate
like there
for
was some
6 hours?
Possibility that
Yeah, come on. Now we know how it's going to split. people have already made up their minds. Yeah, let's
take 6 hours and pretend like it's not already scripted, right? Predetermined.
Exactly. Oh, 5 hours and 30 minutes after the debate. Duh. Okay. Right. I have an epiphany.
Ooh, vote to impeach.
I have a revelation. I'm not going to impeach anymore. Right? What? No.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I have a sick curiosity on how this is going to work. You know, I mean, you know how it's going to work out, but I want to know where the, I don't know. I guess I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The Real Lincoln. Yeah, that's excellent.
The Real Lincoln.
Excellent book.
Right. What's the guy's
get
name?
Get some of the truth there.
Something, I forget. He was born before 1812, so I can't remember his name. So anyway, this New York Times article.
De Lorenza.
Thomas De Lorenza. That's right. Yeah. Okay. The Real Lincoln. But anyway, it gives these bullet points of what to expect in the next few hours and the next day and the next whatever regarding the impeachment with the House. And I come across this. You know that little emoji? Right? Okay. So if you follow me on Twitter, you already know what I'm talking about because I tweeted it as soon as I had it, which was, I don't know, it doesn't tell me, 10:14 this morning. Can I read this? All right. The House may also vote to empower Ms. Pelosi to name impeachment managers whose identities are likely to become public in the coming days. The managers are House members who act much like prosecutors in the impeachment trial, that is, to follow in the Senate, presenting their findings of the House inquiry to their colleagues across the Capitol. What? This is Queen Pelosi, right?
Inventing a new portion of the Constitution.
Okay, so they're just making this crap up as they go along anyway, right? We ought to know this. I mean, the whole impeachment rules, the Democrats get to pick all the witnesses, and then we get to choose how many Republican witnesses they can have, and when we choose how many they can have, then we can also choose not to have them. I mean, that simply was the rule for the impeachment inquiry. The Democrats get all the witnesses they want. The chairman will decide how many witnesses the Republicans have, and when they choose their witnesses, the chairman can decide not to have the witnesses. All right, so like I said, they're making this stuff up as they go along.
Yeah, what does the House have to do with the Senate process of impeachment now? You're over there in your house.
That was the second head explosion. The first head explosion is Nancy Pelosi getting to pick. Okay? We're going to empower. That word just... We're going to empower.
So the rest of the House...
So we have the House delegating power to Pelosi that the House doesn't even possess. Okay? Not only that, right? What kind of government are we? What is a representative
Kangaroo?
Government? No, we are an
Banana
aristocracy.
Republic?
This is an aristocracy. So they're crowning Queen Pelosi. And the rest of us, who actually elected representatives, have absolutely no representation in this action whatsoever. None. Nancy gets to pick. Where is our representative government? This is an aristocracy. This is, you know what? I don't know. Maybe I'm, because I'm so hopeful all the time. Right?
Yeah, you are that person. Wait a minute.
That's you.
I'm the cynic. What's going on?
I know. Because this is just, this is over the top and nobody's saying anything about it.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about it.
You didn't have your coffee this morning?
I did have my coffee this morning.
Oh, okay.
And nobody's talking about it. Okay? Nowhere is anybody talking about how absurd it is that Nancy Pelosi gets to pick these, what did they call them?
Moderators?
Impeachment
monitors?
Managers.
Managers.
Okay? Right? So, problem number one, Nancy Pelosi, in a constitutional republic where people are supposed to have equal representation, if there is such an entity as an impeachment manager, there should be a House vote. Right? There should be a House vote so that it's equal representation for everyone represented in the House. But instead, we have House members voting to empower. Tell me how that works, JC. Is it just the Democrats, because they're the majority in the House, that are going to vote to empower Nancy Pelosi? Or will the whole House hold a vote to empower Nancy Pelosi? Will it be a two-thirds vote? Will it be a simple majority vote? Will it be just the vote of the people present? Is the vote silent? Does it have to be recorded? This is so far outside the rule of law. They're just making this stuff up as they go.
Yeah, what is the article, section, clause where we find impeachment managers?
Right.
What is that?
Right. So the fact that Nancy gets empowered, right? Okay, look, you guys out in the chat room, you guys that are listening, leave your comments. Does anybody else find that morally offensive? This empowerment? The word, I mean, the word empower is very telling in and of itself. It's very descriptive of what's happening. Anybody else here morally, to your core of your soul, offended by that? I mean, here's my mind. I'm just thinking Mercy Otis Warren hearing this, right? I'm thinking Samuel Adams. Samuel Adams would be ranting more than I would. Sure. Mercy would be too. Mercy's the one that coined the words political prostitute, right?
Right.
So when I talk about political prostitutes,
you know where she stands.
Everybody's like, oh, Chrisanne, that's great, great. I'm going to take that. I'm like, I already took it, so you can have it. Political prostitutes. Are you morally offended to your core that the House is going to vote to empower Nancy Pelosi Queen? Then on top of that, the impeachment managers, right? Who are going to then present. Now, it says, prosecutor.
The guy that's in charge of, what do you call those? McMuffins at McDonald's? That kind of manager?
I think it would be the
biscuit watcher?
The biscuit manager? Well, the impeachment manager would be the one who manages the peaches.
Impeachment
manager. Yeah. Did you catch that?
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out what, because it said, act like a prosecutor.
Yeah, yeah.
What, manager, prosecutor?
Yeah, presenting the findings of the House inquiry to their colleagues across the Capitol. Okay, so did the senators get to insert themselves into the House process?
Well, there's a great question.
No.
Right.
So why does the House get to insert themselves into the Senate process? You see, this is this new mentality of the House of Representatives under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi. This woman believes she's queen. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to be president. She doesn't need to be president. She thinks she's greater than the president as the Speaker of the House. She's already said that. She's traveling around the world making negotiations. Trump pulls us out of the Paris Accord. She travels and says, no, we're not out because I'm bigger than the president. I mean, seriously, the House majority, the House Speaker is not even in a constitutionally established office. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is a parliamentarily procedural established office. So this power that she has empowered herself with is completely and totally unconstitutional. But you see what happens. Because she believes that she can create this power for themselves. Now the House is going to empower her with more power, making her, she is queen. She actually operates as a queen. And so now, not only does she believe she's bigger than the president, she believes she can insert herself into the Senate process, which is head explosion number 675 for Chrisanne today. I didn't. And this is why JC cut me off, because he doesn't want the Secret Service coming to the House, and he doesn't want us booted off of YouTube, because we enjoy having these conversations
I'm good.
With you. But
I'm good. We want to keep the YouTube rolling, that's all. I'm not Secret Service that.
Yeah, whatever.
That doesn't bother me.
I'm already on the list. Whatever. I'm actually shocked every time I get to fly these days. I'm waiting for that SSSS to come up on my boarding pass, and so I can know that I've got some kind of hold on me or something.
I still think, again, you know, they're digging their own grave, so, you know, show who they really are.
Dear Jesus in heaven. I am praying to you today in all of sincerity with the greatest expectation. Let the workers of iniquity come to light. Please, you said, God, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I am angry with, I believe, is a righteous indignation. I, by every word in the Bible, as in a righteous indignation, deserve vindication. Our Constitution requires vindication. And I'm praying that God bring a swift and complete judgment in this, in whatever his wisdom entails.
Oh, one person is a Lincoln fan. That's fine, Dale. No problem, bro. We understand. It's one of those things. Contentious history.
Yeah, it is. But,
But it's interesting. I mean, if you go look at his own writings, like the speeches and things, I mean, it's very telling. But, it's little different theories on the thing.
Go read Lincoln's first inaugural address. You'll have to hunt it down because it's conspicuously left out of all of the historical documents. Yeah. We were actually in the Lincoln Memorial. And it had in the Lincoln Memorial, they were selling a book of the inaugural addresses of the presidents of the United States. And it left out Lincoln's first inaugural address because it was Lincoln's, I'm not going to interfere with slavery in the country. Lincoln actually says for the federal government to interfere in slavery, to end slavery, would be a crime of the highest degree. Those are his words. And so go look at Lincoln's first inaugural address and go look at the Lincoln-Douglas debates. And you can see Lincoln say, I believe that there's a supremacy of the races, that the white race is supreme. He says, I think that they should be free, but we are supreme. He even makes the joke, and just because I think they're free doesn't mean that I think we should be marrying them. Right? And he says, I never proposed that they should have equal right and citizenships. They should never be allowed to vote.
So it's clearly that this would not be somebody who's a hero today. Certainly in the black community wouldn't hold up somebody who said that. No. I mean, people who say stuff not even close to that are labeled white supremacists. I mean, that's pretty much straightforward white supremacy. Yeah. I mean,
that's not even mentioning the fact that Lincoln denied habeas corpus overrode the Constitution and all of those things. But, that's... Come on now.
Yeah, the whole...
Blood pressure's already up today.
Yeah, there's a lot to that conversation. I mean, you have the right, the righteous war to end slavery.
But there was two wars.
Which ended up, in my view, being cover for other things that were not righteous, that were not straightforward. But, now some some look at the progression of Lincoln. I mean, this is some people's theory or idea.
I don't know if it's so or not. Tell us that before.
That was sort of Lincoln, who Lincoln was in the beginning, and then because of his interaction with Frederick Douglass, and there was a evolution of Lincoln where he changed his position and became abolitionist minded and that sort of thing. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to ferret that out from this point in history, but as we look at to me, when you look at the totality of it, or definitely those isolated events, I don't know how you can defend that.
Well, for me,
what do you have? What sort of explanation do you have for a person saying the white race or the black? What do you say? Africans are inferior to the white race.
Right. Well,
I'm not sure what exactly. How do you exactly defend that?
How about the premise of the transition through the Emancipation Proclamation and then post-Emancipation Proclamation, Lincoln still trying to cleanse the country of slaves?
Very true. That's after the whole Frederick Douglass interaction and all that.
He's trying to ship them off.
Right. That's why I say when you take the totality of it, to me, and I'm not, this is not a hill I'm going to die. I'm not like emotionally connected to this. Anyway, whatsoever. It is what it is.
Let me tell you what. Nancy Pelosi ticks me off more than that because Nancy Pelosi is right now.
Yeah, Lincoln's dead and gone. Who cares?
Putting liberty in jeopardy.
Can't do anything about it.
We could have recovered from that.
Yeah.
We could have. Mind you, we altered the way we taught our Constitution since 1833 before Lincoln. See, here's the thing. Most people don't realize if we had not altered the way we were teaching the Constitution in 1833, if we had not changed the way we were teaching in our law schools, creating our lawyers and judges, if we had not changed from St. George Tucker to the federal supremacist Joseph Story, there would have been no place for Lincoln.
Yeah.
There would have been no place for Lincoln. Our educational system from 1833 made the place for this. And somebody would say, well, that's good because, you know, we got rid of slavery. No, you need to learn your history about slavery. What was it like? Less than 2% of the population actually owned slaves at the time of our Civil War. And that there the people who were owning slaves within the states were actually being, defeated by their own people in their own states.
You start walking down that road, this won't be a short show.
Yeah, it won't be a short show. But anyway.
But you know, the thing is, it's like.
My concern is, what is Nancy Pelosi? What are our congressmen doing today? Why isn't there a single Republican? Hello?
Yeah.
Why isn't there a single Republican standing from the rooftops with bullhorns, if the media won't hear them, talking about the atrocity of empowering Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah, I
guarantee it's because, well, the Republicans did it before. You know, I'm just, it's this.
Well, you power. Know, both parties are after the same.
Thank you.
You know, it's all about power and holding power. So that's why Republicans let the Democrats slide on stuff and, you know, they don't fight back. And the Democrats know that the Republicans are weak and wimpy, and so it doesn't matter to them. They'll come after Republicans no matter what. But the Republicans, they let the stuff slide because they want the same kind of tyrannical power when it's their turn. That's why, you know, you have Heritage Foundation and those, you know, never Trumpers come so hard at this president,
right?
Because he doesn't just go along. He comes at them. He calls them out, and they're like, "Whoa, you're not supposed to do that because you're highlighting, you know, what's wrong, and then we won't be able to do it when it's our turn." So, you know, they gotta take him out, take him down.
Well, maybe JC, put up the LFU ad there. We'll tell people, look, if you want to know more in depth about this thing, there's several classes at Liberty First University. May I recommend Slavery and the American Founders? It's a course that JC and I teach together. May I also recommend how the Constitution ended slavery? Well, I think that's the Slavery and the American Founders. I can also recommend JC's class, More Than Victims, America's Hidden Black History, to dispute that the propagation of the lie that the federal government freed the slaves. See, that's the whole purpose of glorifying the Emancipation Proclamation. Because when you glorify the Emancipation Proclamation, which, by the way, legally freed no one,
mm-hmm.
then you can teach people for generations that the only reason they're free is because the federal government said so.
Sure.
So then, you know, you further... substantiate the premise that the federal government is your savior, the federal government is your provider, the federal government is your protector. Why do you need God? Government is your God.
And that's also why you would lionize Lincoln, right? You make Lincoln this deified hero no one then can question all of the anti-constitutional tyrannical acts that he took. And this is the thing, like, remember the conversation we had at Camp Constitution, and the guy was he was a Lincoln worshiper practically. And, you know, since then, I decided it's not even a conversation, like, it's not worth an argument. Because the fact of the matter is, there's so much information about Lincoln that you can easily find, like, what did he do in Baltimore? What did he do with newspapers and media outlets? What did he, you know, what did he do with the railroad? I mean,
what did he do
with
habeas corpus? What did he do with the slaves, the freed slaves, the freedmen who were slaves after the Emancipation Proclamation?
So therefore, if you can say, if you can have the stance, I love Lincoln, okay, you're not probably going to be really able to talk to a person like that, because if you are still, that's your opinion, with the mountain of history now that we yeah. have on Lincoln and what, yeah. What it really was, not just the, what's the guy named, the Sandberg's novel and or a thing, and who was it, William, I forget, but the two, like, massive propaganda pieces shortly after Lincoln's death that built the mythology. Like, if that's what you're still going on and you haven't actually looked at real documentation of history, you're probably not dealing with a person that's going to receive any truth in the first place. If you don't know
yeah.
how tyrannical he was, you're so kind of clueless.
Liberty Cause in the chat rooms reminds us once again, if you want to know where we are, and this is, Liberty Cause has been following us for a while now and knows what we've been teaching, I'm sure knows on, with a name, I don't know, his, her, own, about the background. I know the study and stuff because I've seen Liberty Cause in other places.
Yeah, several people said it in the chat.
The 1833 transformation is what now today is why our law schools don't teach the Constitution. That's why you can get people at the Heritage Foundation who are lawyers, who claim to be conservatives, but are complete constitutional ignoramuses, because do the math, 1833 would be 176 years now. We have 186 years now. We've been teaching federal supremacy. We've been teaching judicial supremacy, all because Joseph Story's book, his fiction book about the Constitution, became the standard of education for our Constitution in our law schools. We don't teach the Constitution in law schools. We teach constitutional law, which teaches that judges and lawyers know more about the Constitution than the men who wrote it, and teaches that we need to not follow the Constitution. We need to learn how to circumvent the Constitution so we can win our arguments. You see, the art of law, which is where you come up with the term attorney, right? Mm-hmm. The art of law is no longer about justice. It's no longer about truth. It's about winning. That's yeah. what it's about. And I don't care what the Bar Association's ethics division says they propose. I don't care what your law professor says. I don't care what any law school says. Lawyers are out to win. I was a prosecutor, which is, and for me, the prosecution and defense attorneys, right? All right, let me just put it this way. Prosecutors, in a world of their own, should be the least concerned with winning. I don't get more money if I win.
Right.
Right? I don't get more money if I win. I don't get any raises if I win. I don't get any bonus if I win. So for as a prosecutor, winning ought not be my goal. So when winning at all costs seeps into our the realm of our prosecutors, you know that it has saturated the rest of the legal field.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact, even in the little rural counties where I prosecuted, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, it was win at all cost. That was, now there were were prosecutors like me, and in the smaller communities, there's a greater concentration of prosecutors like me who know that these are people's lives, and I'm a prosecutor, not a persecutor.
Well, because you're connected with a lot of those people, you know, people who know those people, and
right.
I mean, you're in the same
right.
place.
And, but here's the thing.
It's more of a community connection.
Exactly, but when it seeps into there, like I saw it happen, then you know the rest of the communities are saturated.
Yeah.
Because the last bastion of true prosecutors will be in the small communities where they know each other, and when it's already affected there. You know, the judicial system has gone to compost anyway.
You said once, you shared about what you told young prosecutors when you train them. And I don't remember if you said that was something that Jeff had told you or someone had taught you or something.
And it was Tom Coleman, actually.
Tom Coleman.
Yeah, Tom Coleman. It's that, look, these are not numbers. These are not caseloads. These are not affidavits. These are not police reports. This is not the policeman's job. These are lives. These are families. These are mothers. These are fathers. These are children, aunts, uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers. These are people's lives. You are a prosecutor, not a persecutor. And you need to know the difference.
And, you know, another one too that stands out in that experience when you were a prosecutor was the conversation with Gordon Summers, who was a public defender.
I
think you were asking him, how can you defend some of these people when knowing what you know and that sort of thing.
Violent murderers? How do you defend them? And he said to me, "I'm not defending them. I'm defending their rights."
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's been a growth process in my understanding about the Constitution and rights.
From that time, for sure.
You know, through my prosecution. Yeah. And here's the thing. I can tell you that I didn't have a firm understanding in the beginning because they don't teach that in law school.
Right.
We don't get that training. That training of human beings and rights.
You learn precedent and statutory law,
yes.
which really more often than not is anti-constitution,
and
which
anti-liberty.
Is against the Constitution.
Anti-liberty. You study statutory law. You study precedent. You study that judges and lawyers are the ultimate rulers of the universe, and that you yourself can know nothing as a lawyer unless the judge tells you, or some judge somewhere tells you.
Right.
And so, understanding, you know, I am so grateful for the people in my lives, like Joseph Little, my constitutional law professor at University of Florida, Tom Coleman, who's now a judge, Gordon Summers, who's still a public defender. The man is brilliant. He could do anything he wanted. And by the way, he probably doesn't need to work anymore.
Right.
But he believes, like I do, that people's liberties deserve to be defended. Mm-hmm. And I wish we had more people in the public defender's office that were dedicated like that. Most of the time, people just go there as a stepping stone.
But that's the same perspective that our representatives ought to have. That's the same perspective that, you know, the representative is in the House, the Senate. All these people should have. You know, to be able to have this really nonpartisan, if you will, non-tribal, objective. Like we're not here for a party. We're not here for a group. We're here for the Constitution. We're here for liberty. That's what we're here to stand up for and to protect. And there's so few, if any. I mean, it's hard to even think of a name, you know, that is concerned. I mean, you know, maybe a couple, but my goodness, that perspective is almost unheard of in political positions.
Yeah. Well, we promised a short show today, and we've almost went the full length anyway. But I'm really excited about the holidays coming. This is my favorite time of the year. Chris Ann gets to go in her happy place. Only the few insiders know, and I guess you guys will know now, my favorite happy place is baking and cooking. And so I do a lot of that this time of the year because we have parties to go to and I have a reason to bake. And JC doesn't have to eat dozens and dozens of cookies all the time and cakes and stuff. And so we get to keep JC's blood sugar down and Chris Ann gets to fulfill her need to bake and create. And so I just want to remind you that every year we have a tradition here. I tell the Chris Ann Hall Liberty First Christmas story in one of our episodes. So that will be coming up. I promise this year I won't tear up, I hope. But it's one of my favorite writings that I've done. And I republish it every year. And we're going to keep on the air as much as we can. So make sure as the holidays approach that we stay liberty first. We stay diligent to the truth. Principle over party, truth over personality. And take a moment to breathe.
Amen. don't forget what's really important.
Yeah.
You know, the people around you, the people that... And you're connected
forget,
to. Don't lose forget, sight of that.
Don't forget to go to chrisannhall.com. You still have time. I checked the gear store. Put our gear stuff up there, JC. At chrisannhall.com, if you go to the shop, if you order now, you can still get your stuff by Christmas. But you have 2 or 3 days left. You can still get stuff by Christmas if you want to spread liberty. My goodness, can you imagine a high school students going to high school with their Got Liberty t-shirts, with their Crispus Attucks t-shirts? You know, I'd like to say gun t-shirts, but, you know, I'll let the parents decide if they want to step out there. We have leggings, hoodies. And by the way, those of you in the North, our hoodies are by your demand, okay? Hoodies are by your demand. JC also is going to look into baseball caps. We're going to see about that because we had the request for the Got Liberty baseball caps.
Yeah, I want one myself.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate your support. Text IMPACT 2020, one word, IMPACT 2020 to 33777 and support us. If you want to wait until after the first of the year, I'm good with that. But don't forget, God bless you guys.
Happy belated birthday, Jesus.
Happy belated birthday, Jesus.